Okay, so we're ready to start then. So we are holding on Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots, six lines from the top.
Okay.
We mentioned yesterday, we started asking, Rami Bachama had asked the question whether a goy is able to make a tmura, and we ended up saying actually that his specific question was in the case where the animal itself belongs to a goy, but he was machdish it, could be brought as a korban on behalf of a yid. But in that connection, we brought a braisa with machloikas of Reb Shimon and Reb Yossi about various dinim that do and don't apply to kodshim of goyim. We said Reb Shimon had said that kodshim of goyim, you're not allowed to have hanah from them, but if you do, then you haven't committed the isur me'ilah, as we'll see in the Gemara today why that is. The dinim of pigul, noiser, and tamei don't apply to them, which, by the way, you have different understandings among the achronim. Doesn't mean it doesn't apply at all. Doesn't mean that it does apply. The korban itself is possible or pigul or what have you. But if a person eats it, he's not chayav kares. Anyway, also Reb Shimon says that a korban of a goy is not able to produce a tmura, which we also said yesterday meant that the goy himself, if it's his own korban, can't produce a tmura, and they don't bring the stachim. The korban requires the sachim, but the goy doesn't bring them, which means, again, we said yesterday that Rashi said that if the goy himself sends money along with the korban, then fine, we bring the sachim out of that money. But if not, then we bring it mishal tibur. But Amram has a bit of a different understanding of it, that you never bring it from the goy's possessions. You always bring it mishal tibur. Anyway, that was Reb Shimon, said all those things about kodshe goyim. And Reb Yossi says that, no, I'm machmir by all of them. And then we said, in other words, according to him, that Ne'ilah does apply to them, Daraisa, and Tigul, Noser, and Tomei apply to them, Daraisa, Tmura would apply to them. And then the Braisa finishes off, that Reb Shimon says that there's a difference in that regard between Kodshe Mizbeach and Kodshe Bedek Abayis. So if it's Kodshe Mizbeach, then we say we have this distinction, whether Ne'ilah applies or not. But if it's Kodshe Bedek Abayis, then Ne'ilah definitely applies to it. Okay. So that was the braisa. So now let's analyze that braisa. Omar, we said in the braisa, mukdishay over to kachovim, or kodshay over to kachovim, really, whatever. Kodshim of goyim, we said, loy nanin v'loy moyalin. We said, you're not allowed to have hanah from them, but if you did, you haven't been over on the isur me'ilah, meaning if it was b'mezid, the person's not getting malchus, and if it's b'shogig, he's not bringing a chasas. So that means lenen min drabbanon v'lemoylen min daraisa. That means, as usual, when you have lenen and v'lemoylen, it means on a drabbanon level that you're not allowed to have hanal from them because you don't want to confuse them with kodshim of a Jew. But the lemoylen is daraisa on a daraisa level. There's no iser and there's no chiyuv for meal in it. Okay. My timer. Now, why is that? Why would that not apply? Why would that not apply on a daraisa level? By the way, Tosfos points out that we could have argued once in a while you do have a concept of something that doesn't have me'ilah on a daraisa level in it. Why doesn't the Gemara assume that that's the case over here? Tosfos says because we assume if pigul, noser, and tomei they don't have, which are all things daraisa, then we assume that me'ilah is also, we're talking daraisa. Anyway, so the question is my timer. Why is that? Why on a daraisa level at least is there a distinction between kodshe goyim and kodshim of Jews, whether there's me'ilah or not? So like this, dichtiv, because the pasuk says nefesh kisim el mal, the pasuk describes me'ilah. If a person commits a trespass, which is the literal meaning of me'ilah, a trespass or change or something, whatever. So he commits a trespass, v'chata b'shugoga, and they sinned accidentally and then used something of kodshim. So it uses the word v'chata, v'yalpin and chet mitruma. That has then, so we now have a gzeira shava on the word chet from truma, whereby truma it describes that if a zor eats it, it describes over there that they're committing a chet. When it comes to truma, you have an explicit prophet that says dabra b'nei yisrael about the genome of truma, so it only applies to b'nei yisrael, it doesn't apply to goyim. So goyim are not capable of designating truma. If they designate truma, it has no effect. So therefore, the Gezeirah Shava teaches us that the same thing, Me'ilah, does not apply. That Me'ilah does not apply to Kodshim of Goyim either.
Gerim?
What? Yeah, what?
Gerim.
Can't hear you. What?
What about Gerim? They considered in this?
Gerim, of course, is 100%. When you say Ger, you mean a Ger Tarshav or a Ger Tzedek? A Ger Tzedek is 100%. A Ger Tzedek is 100% a Yid for this purpose. Of course, he can give Truma, and Mila would apply to his Karbanah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's where we learn. So that's where we learn that that Kodshe Goyim don't have Ne'ilah in them, according to the Pshim. Okay. And by the way, this that we have. The Ein Chayavin Aleihem Mishum Pigul Noser V'Tomei. Next, we said that you're not Chayav on Kodshim of Goyim for Pigul Noser and Tomei, which again either means that the dinim of Pigul Noser and Tomei don't apply to them at all, or it means, according to some Achronim, it means that it does apply. A person just isn't Chayav Kodesh for eating them. Why not? Dichtiv Bob Tuma, Dabar El Aron Vel Bono V'Yinozru Mekodshim B'nei Yisrael. When it comes to eating Kodshim when a person is Tomei, the Pasuk introduces it in Parshas Emor by saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, V'Yinozru Mekodshim B'nei Yisrael, that they should separate themselves from the Kodshim of the Jewish people when they are Tomei. V'lo Yechalu Eschein B'Goyim, that they shouldn't profane Hashem's holy name. So you have the word chilul in there, v'lo yichalalu, v'yalas noisil. So there it says b'nei Yisrael. So clearly the dinim of tumah don't apply to kodshim of goyim. V'yalas noisil chilul chilul mitrumah. Next, as far as that noisil doesn't apply, we have gzeirah shava on the word chilul from tumah. Yichdiv gamet tumah b'nei Yisrael v'lo yichalalu goyimah. The passage we just quoted says they shouldn't profane, they shouldn't be mechalal Hashem's holy name. By noiser, the pasuk says, a person who eats it will bear his guilt, meaning has done a serious avera and is chayav paris. He is kodesh Hashem chilol because he's profaned the holy things of Hashem. So there you have a gzeirah shava on the word chilol. So if tuma, if the issue of eating kodshim b'tuma, or the punishment, as the case may be, of eating kodshim b'tuma only applies to kodshim of bnei Yisrael, then the gzeirah shava teaches us that the same thing is true as far as noiser. The Yalif Pigul, Oven, Noiser. In turn, when it comes to Pigul, we have another Zeta Shava on the word Oven from Noiser. Dichtiv Gavik Pigul, Van Nefesh Echelos Mena Avon Afisa, because by Pigul, the Pasuk says if a person eats from it, the Nefesh, will bear her guilt, Avonah. Dichtiv Gavik Noiser, Vaoichal Avonah Yisaki, Eskredish Hashem Chilo. So therefore, so we have a Gzeirah Shava from Tumah to Noiser, another Gzeirah Shava from Noiser to Pigul, and by the way, that's not a problem, because when we have the whole sugya in Zvachim about Lomed, Min HaLomed, we said over there, there's no problem using one Gzeirah Shava and then another Gzeirah Shava to learn B from A through a Gzeirah Shava, and then to learn C from B also through a different Gzeirah Shava. We said there's no problem with that. So therefore, over here, there we go. So there, so we have all of them.
With the Hekesh, there is a problem.
Hekesh, we said, with Hekesh, there is, well, there is, yes, we're going to get to that too. Yeah. But with Gzeirah Shava, there's no problem to do two different Gzeirah Shavas, even in Kodshim. So therefore, So therefore, the bottom line is all of these didn't apply only to Jews, not to Goyim. Next, the Ein Oisin Tzmora. We said that Kodshim of Goyim are not able to make a Tzmora, which also meant we said that a Goy himself cannot make a Tzmora. This gives Lo Yachlifenu V'Liyomer. The book is described, you're not allowed to make a Tzmora. It says you're not allowed to exchange it, you're not allowed to swap it out. Ochtiv Beresh Inyan, at the beginning of that section, there you have, there's a number of different, this is in the last parak. Okay, that was just Yaakov asking about the share. The din about Tamura is in the last perek. Is in the last perek of Parshas Bechukosai. You have a number of different dinim in that perek. Some of them a couple of the last mesechtes that we've had have been on topics from that perek. Bechoret is mentioned in that perek, although it's mentioned in other parakim as well. Erchin is mentioned in that perek, and now we have Tzmura is mentioned in that perek. So that perek begins, it says at the beginning of that perek, as an introduction to all these dinim, it says, Dabar al b'nei Yisrael, Dabar al b'nei Yisrael, Ve'amar ta'alehem, actually, Ishki yafi neder, if a person declares a neder for their erech, so we see therefore, so that part about erchin is addressed to Bnei Yisrael. In fact, in erchin, in the Masechta Erchin, we had a machlokas whether a goy is able to be marich or whether he's able to be nerach, whatever, but the beginning of that section begins with Dabar al Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, it means that all the dinim in this parasha are addressed only to Bnei Yisrael, and Tzmura is one of them. Therefore, that's where we get that a goy is not able to make a Tzmura. Okay. So that explains everything that Rav Shimon had said. Lishnachrina, we have another version of that last one. And by the way, in our Masechta, we're going to have a number of times. We're going to have these Lishnachrinas. You sometimes have them in other places in Shas, but apparently they're more common in this Masechta. There's apparently a number of figures of speech and other such expressions that are somewhat rare in Shas, but you find them more commonly in our Masechta. This is one of them. So the Einos and Tzmura my timer. What's another reason why we could say that a goy is not able to make a Tzmura? We have the one reason because it says Dabar al Bnei Yisrael, but another version goes, Itisha Tzmura Behema L'Maisa Behema, or Maisa Behema L'Maisa Dagon, because we have a double hesh. We have a Tzmura of Behema is compared to Maisa of Behema, because the Torah tells us that you have to give Maisa Behema, and then it says you're not allowed to exchange it. In fact, at the end of our perek, we're going to talk about why it is, if the Torah already told us earlier in that perek, that you're not allowed to make a tumura. So why does it repeat it at the end of the perek in connection with Maisa Behema? We'll talk about that on Daf Yud Gimel, Bez Hashem. At any rate, there is that hekesh between Tzmuras Behema and Maisa Behema. Well, Maisa Behema, the Maisa Dagon. We also then have a hekesh between Maisa Behema and Maisa Dagon. Because the pasuk says Aser to Aser. We learned this in Bechoros, actually, that says Aser to Aser, and that means there's two types of Maiser, Maiser of grain and Maiser of animals. Regarding Maiser Dagon, Ksiv, and now when it comes to Maiser of grain, the pasuk says Ki Esmasa Bnei Yisrael Asher Yerimu L'Hashem. It says, because the Maiser of the Jewish people, which they lift up for Hashem, goes to the Levim, meaning, again, Bnei Yisrael, L'Ovid Gechavim, so it applies only to Jews, not to Goyim. So again, a goy is not able to declare meiser, and once he's not able to, then once he's not able to do meiser dagon, then he can't do meiser behema either because of that hekesh. And once he can't do meiser behema, then he can't do tzmuras behema either because of that other hekesh. Now we actually have in Zvachim there when we had that whole sugya about lomid min halomid, we had we said actually that when it comes to kodshim, you can't do that. You can't learn B from A by a hekesh, and then learn C from B by another hekesh. It doesn't work. So how does that work over here? One answer is, the Gemara said over there, because we start out over here with Maisa Dagon. Well, Maisa Dagon is not hekesh, it's cholin. It goes to Levium. You have to separate it out. But it goes to Levium, and it's completely cholin. They can do with it whatever they want, except for they have to take out Trumas Maisa and give to the Kohen, but fine. So that's one answer then, is if we have a machloikas over there, the Gemara points out, we have a machloikas, whether if you're doing a hekesh and then another hekesh, where you're starting out, where the milamed, what you're learning from, is not in kodshim, does that work that you're able to do a hekesh from a hekesh? One opinion over there says yes. The other opinion says no. And in that case, they have to answer it differently. They have to say that the reason is, because we're not doing a double hekesh. We're just doing a hekesh from Maisa Behema to Tzmura. And what we're saying is Maisa Behema itself is something which Goyim can't bring because we have a general rule, we already said yesterday, that Goyim are only able to bring karbonis that, first of all, that can be done voluntarily, which Maisa Behema, I guess in a certain extent, is voluntary, but it's not really because you're obligated. If you have 10 animals, you're obligated to give Maisa Behema from them. The point is, it's considered a korban chayva, it's an obligatory korban, and goyim don't bring obligatory karbanos, the same way as they can't bring a chatas or an ashram, or even among oilists themselves, for example, when we learned about this in the Nachas, we said, for example, a goy can't bring, let's say, an oilas yeledes, let's say a woman gave birth and she's bringing a karban for that. That's something where if it was a Jewish woman, she would be required to bring that karban. Therefore, that's something that goyim are excluded from. So the same thing over here. We can say, we don't have to do a double hekesh, we just need the single hekesh from Maisa Behema to Tzmura, and say, just like Maisa Behema is only something that Jews can do and Goyim can't, the same way, Tzmura is something that only Jews can do and Goyim can't.
How do we use two hekesh?
Well, that's because if we use two hekeshes, it's more straightforward, basically. Using the two hekeshes is a way to figure out how we know that Goyim are not able to make a Tzmura. That again, we start from Maisa Dagon, that brings us to Maisa Behema, and that in turn brings us to Tzmura. So that according to one opinion, that's perfectly fine, even though it's a Hekesh and then another Hekesh, because we started out, the Milamid was Maisa Dagon, which is not Kodshim, and therefore it's fine. Outside of Kodshim, you can pile as many Limudim on top of each other as you want. It's only within Kodshim that you have these rules about Lamed and Milamid. So that's one way of understanding it. The other way of understanding it is that we don't need the double hekesh, we just Maisa Behema itself being something that Goyim can't bring because it's an obligatory carbon. Therefore, the same thing would apply to Tzmura, and therefore they can't make a Tzmura either. Okay, so that's that. So it's not necessarily we're using the double hekesh. We have the first lashon of our Gemara over here that we're learning a different way that they can't make a Tzmura, which is, again, because we said, because the parasha begins off B'nai Yisrael. By the way, I mean, we learned yesterday, on the day, we talked about a whole different reason why a goy can't make a Tzmura, because we said they're not B'nai Oinshin, they're not subject to the punishments of the Torah, and we said that only somebody who's subject to the punishments of the Torah is able to make a Tzmura. But first of all, we weren't sure about that because we did leave Rami Bahama's question open. We said when you have a kid within within a year before Barabbas, are they able to make a Tzmura or not? We said maybe yes, maybe because they will eventually come to Oinshin, maybe not. But besides that, also the Gemara wants over here to be able to find a reason that will work according to Rabbi Yossi as well. If we say that the reason is because Goyim aren't subject to penalties, then that's a logical reason that Rabbi Yossi can't disagree with. So why would he say then that Goyim are able to make a Tzmura? Therefore, we need the Lamudim over here, which, okay, the Lamudim over here, Rabbi Yossi can disagree with.
Well, he believes that even though they're not Bar Mitzvah, they could still be B'nai Anshin?
No. He holds that even though, no. That was Rami Bahama's question was about kids below Bar Mitzvah, whether they're definitely not B'nai Anshin. The question was whether they can make a Tzmura. But over here, we're saying that we had Shimon and Rabbi Yossi arguing whether Goyim can make a Tzmura. According to Rabbi Yossi, they can. So therefore, we need Lemudim that will work according to Rabbi Shimon, which then Rabbi Yossi is able to disagree with, rather than the one based on that it's whether they're B'nai Oinshin or not, which then there's no wiggle room in that Goyim are not B'nai Oinshin, period. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Braise, if Ein Mevin Yisachim, our Korban Eton Yisachim, Divrei Rav Shimon. We finished off that Rav Shimon says that a goy does not bring nesachim with his korban. However, his korban requires nesachim, which again, Rav Shimon understood that to mean that if he sends money along from the nesachim, then we use that to buy the nesachim, and if not, then we buy them Michel Tibur. And according to the Rambam, it means that we always buy them Michel Tibur. It also meant, by the way, Rashi also pointed out over there, that it also meant that goyim can't bring nesachim by themselves, unlike a Jew is able to bring nesachim by themselves. If he makes a neder to do so. Okay, so Menahanim, where do we know that point, that Goyim don't bring Nesachim with their Korbanos, but their Korbanos require Nesachim? The Tanna Rabbanan, because we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk in the parasha of Nesachim mentions the word Ezrach. It says, Kola Ezrach Yasa Kocha Es Eila. Ezrach means, in modern Hebrew they use Ezrach to mean a citizen, but basically what it means is that Ezrach means a native-born Jew. And then to answer your question about Gerim, the Pasuk spells out over there that if a person becomes a Ger, then he has the same Dinyim. For the most part, in Halacha, Kochem Kager, Yielifnei Hashem, it actually finishes off over there. For the most part, in Halacha, a born Jew and a Ger have the same status. It is like that for Nesachim as well. But anyway, the Pasuk mentions the word Ezrach, which means a Jew. So that means Ezrach, maybe Nesachim, Ve'in Oed Kochavim, maybe Nesachim. So it means only an Ezrach, only a Jew, brings Nesachim But a goy does not. But a goy does not. So that's talking about in particular. That's talking about when he brings the sachin by themselves. If he wants to bring the sachin by themselves, shitim kubetz spells out. It means that he can't, as we said, a goy can't bring the sachin by themselves. Yochol loy tehei a losay to unin sachin. You would think then that in that case, if a goy doesn't bring the sachin, maybe even if a goy brings an oila, then it doesn't require the sachin at all. No, chamad loy makocha. No, because the pasuk doesn't just say ezrach. It says kola ezrach yasek kocha eseila. Kocha means like this. Means it has to be exactly like that with no change. So if every korban requires the sachim, or not every korban, whatever, whichever kind of korbanos require the sachim, as it says in the sotim over there, then kocha, so it is, that applies also to korbanos of goyim. The Rambam actually uses, the Rambam actually holds that it's actually, the Gemara is referring to a different kocha. A couple of psukim later, it says kocha tassu la'echad b'misfaram, which therefore, that's also, that would be a source that you never have, that the goy donates the nesachim himself, you always have it brought Michel Tzibur. Anyway, the point is, so there we see, therefore, that kodshim of goyim do require nesachim on the ground that the pasuk says kocha, but on the other hand, because it says ezrach, he doesn't bring them himself. Okay.
Why the Torah uses the word ezrach instead of using the word b'nei thro?
Well, I mean, the parasha begins over there, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael, but I don't know. It's a good question. It's not the only place in the Torah. You also have, for example, by Sukkot, Kol Ezrach b'Yisrael, Yeshu v'Sukkot. Why it is sometimes the Torah picks to use the word Ezrach, I don't know. Maybe we use them for Gzeirah Shavas, I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, that's what it is. So therefore, that Nesachim do have to be Gor, who are Goy's Korban, but they don't bring it themselves. Okay. Then we said in the Braisa, Omer Abyeisi Royani v'Kolam L'Hachmer, we said, Rabbi Yossi says, my opinion is that in all of these things we're machmer, meaning as far as Me'ilah, and as far as Tikkun Ma'aser Tameh, and as far as Tumah. So Rabbi Yossi says to be machmer, my time of Lashon Ksiv. He says, what? My time of Lashon Ksiv. He says, because after all, by Korbanos of Goyim, it describes that a person ish, asher yakov korbanoi, and it says, it has the possibility of the word Lashem, that he brings his korban to Hashem. So he says, the fact of the matter is, a goy's korban, just as much as a Jew's korban, is being brought to Hashem. So he holds, therefore, that all the dinim of, regular kodshim will apply to them. So the Elo will apply, Tigel Moser and Tomei will apply, etc. Okay.
From the word Ezra.
From the word Ezra, from the word Lashem.
What,
From the word Lahashem. Lahashem, that the korban is addressed to Hashem. What does he do with Ezra? Okay, he uses it for some other word. I don't know. The korban doesn't elaborate over here. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Braisa, of Medvar Mamurim, when does all this apply? The kodshim is Beach. We said, when the kodshim is Beach, that's when we say that there's a difference, quantity of human, between a Jew's korban and a goy's korban. Avol b'kodshe b'edek abayis moylin, but when it comes to kodshe b'edek abayis, we said moylin then, and moylin does apply to them. My time, why would there be a difference? Why would kodshe mizbeach have all these dinim and kodshe b'edek abayis, why would kodshe mizbeach not have moylin and kodshe b'edek abayis would? The reason is because where did we learn moylin? The chigam minin moylin chet chet mitrumah, because where are we learning that? Where are we learning, as we said before, according to the Shimon, that a goy's korban is not subject to me'ilah on a daraisa level? We said we're learning Zeta Shava on the word chet from Turma. Well, therefore, dumya de Turma. Therefore, the korban that me'ilah applies to would have to, the kodshim that me'ilah applies to would have to be something like Turma. It would have to be similar to Turma. De kodesh kedushas aguf, where Turma has kedushas aguf. It's not just kedushas damim. Avav kedushas bedek habayis to kedushas damim. But kodshe bedek habayis is only kedushas damim. They do not have kedushas aguf. So then there you don't have a source to say that there should be any difference between a Jew's korban and a goy's korban. Now, of course, you could ask the question. I mean, why don't we say, and Achronim asked the question, why don't we say it's a Kal V'Chomer? If you're going to say it applies to Kodshe, if you're going to say it applies, that Me'ilah applies to Kodshe B'edek Habayis, go back and say on the basis of a Kal V'Chomer, it ought to apply to Kodshe Mizbeach. The one idea behind it is because, essentially, Kodshe Mizbeach have to have an owner. A Korban has somebody's name attached to it, bringing the Korban on behalf of so-and-so. as opposed to kontra berikabayis, precisely because they only have monetary value, the actual object itself doesn't really have the owner's name attached to it. You donate it to berikabayis, and then berikabayis, and then the isbarim go and sell it for whatever they need. They don't, when they're selling it or when they're using it or whatever, they don't have the particular person who gave it in mind. So therefore, that's a logical reason to say that a kavachoyma like that wouldn't work, and therefore we're left with that even according to Reb Shimon, kodesh berikabayis of goyim, me'ilah does apply to them.
Wait, kodesh mizbeach comes from the person.
Kodesh mizbeach, he says that not, but kodesh berikabayis, yes. Yeah. Okay. In this, the halacha is, in all of these, the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So therefore, me'ilah doesn't apply on a daraisa level to kodesh of goyim, but midrabanan it does. Pigul, noser, and tomei don't apply. Whether that means that it doesn't apply at all, or just that you're not chayiv of them as a machlokes achronim, and they can't make up tmura. Okay, fine. New topic. Amar of Yehuda Amarav. Kol loisese shabatora. In general, with the loisese in the Torah tells you don't do such and such. Also, ba ma'isa chayiv. Usually, the rule is that only if you actually did something are you chayiv. Loy also ba ma'isa poter. Usually the rule is that if you did a lav, usually the rule is that if there was a lav that doesn't involve a ma'isa, then you're usually poter. So you have, for example, well, so we're going to talk about later on. We're going to talk about, for example, lavim that involve speaking. We'll talk about whether that's considered a ma'isa or not. But you have, for example, let's say a classic case of a lav shein ma'isa is the case of noiser, for example. The Torah tells you don't leave over from a korban until the morning. So that would be a lav shein ma'isa because you didn't do anything to leave it over. You didn't do anything, and it ended up getting left over. So the Gemara asked the Klola, who is that a general rule that a lav shein ma'isa you always potter from Malkus? Klola, who the lav shein ma'isa potter? Bahari Neymar, what about the topic of our Masechta making a tumah lav shein ma'isa? The lav shein ma'isa. It is a lav she'en b'maisa, the lucky, and he gets malchus, as we learned. It's not as we learned in our Mishnah. Loi shehu rashoi lahomer, that when we said akol memirin, doesn't mean that you're allowed to make a tzmura. Just meant elashim heimu mumu v'seifer gesarboim. It just means that if he does it, it takes effect, and then he gets malchus. So there you have it. There you have an example. Lav she'en b'maisa, he just said, this animal should be instead of this one, and we're giving him malchus. Tosfos points out, actually, there are a couple of other examples, which some of them we're going to be discussing later, about where there's also a lav shein mimaisa. Actually, you know, the ones we're going to be discussing are not ones that the Gemara brings up later, but you have, for example, there's the case of Moti Shemra, where the man slanders his wife in Beis Din and claims that she was Mizana during the Eder Din. You have the example of Adam Zimman. There's no mice over there either, and you get Malkus. But Tosfos says, okay, but over there it says more explicitly in the Torah that you get Malkus for those. So we're not asking about those. We're asking about ones where we need some kind of limud that you get Malkus for them. So if we have a general rule, fine. If the Torah itself says for a certain lav shein mimaisa you get Malkus, okay, good. The same Eibishter who gave the mitzvah and gave the rule about lav shein mimaisa can make exceptions to that. But if we don't have it explicitly in the Torah and we have to use a limud for it, then where do we get that namer, which the Torah doesn't spell out and say that he gets Malkus, it just says that both animals are Kurdish. So where do we get, given that it's a lav shein mimaisa, where do we get that he should get Malkus? The answer is Amalach Rav, not Halmani Rav Yehuda. The answer is Rav answers that our Mishnah is only according to Rav Yehuda. You're right. The Chachamim would disagree. Rav Yehuda later on in our Sugya discusses this point and says that you could get Malkus for a lav she'yet she'en b'maisa. The Chachamim disagree. The Halacha is like the Chachamim. So our Mishnah would be like Rav Yehuda. Dama lav she'en b'maisa like an olive. Rav Yehuda says you could get Malkus for a lav she'en b'maisa. But there you go then. So our Mishnah goes like him. But the Chachamim disagree. Problem with that is when we mutis mukmis masnisin for Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean? How are you able to say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda? The whole kim to reisha to like Rabbi Yehuda. We said yesterday that the reisha of our Mishnah cannot go like Rabbi Yehuda because taniyat kol nimirin, because the first words of the Mishnah were anybody is able to make a tzmura. And we said, Hakol le'isuri. We said, who does that Hakol come to include? We said, le'isuri yodesh would like Rabbi Yehuda. It comes to include someone who inherited a korban from his father, and meaning that that's not like Rabbi Yehuda, because as we discussed yesterday, Rabbi Yehuda learned from Sukkim that learns from Korbanai, that a Yodish does not do smicha, does not do smicha, and does not make a tmura. So Hakol Menirin is not according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you telling me that the continuation of the Mishnah that you get Malkus is according to Rabbi Yehuda? The answer is okay. Hi Tana, Sovelo Kabasei B'Choda. So okay, the Tana of our Mishnah agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one point. The Lav Shein Meisah Leikin Olav. He agrees that you can get Malkus for a Lav Shein Meisah. Or Poli Galay B'Choda. But then he disagrees with him on one point. The Ilu Rabbi Yehuda Sovel Yodish Ein Espeinach Yodish Ein Meimer. Rabbi Yehuda will hold that a Yodish does not do smicha and cannot make a tmura. The Tani Didan, so the Yodish Tlemich, Yodish Memer, the Tani of our Mishnah would hold that he could. So fine, it's a third opinion. We had Rabbi Yehuda, we had Rabbi Meir, but okay, this is a third opinion who agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one point and with Rabbi Meir on another point. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda about Lav Shiyesh Benaisa. He disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Meir when it comes to a Yodish making a small. Okay. So our Mishnah is not a problem for us.
Who is this,
Tana?
Yeah. Hello. Continue. Hi, Yaakov.
Okay.
We're holding near the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. We're holding six lines from the bottom. Okay. So that was, we just said, we had Rav's general rule that wherever you have a loisa session of a Torah she'en b'maisa, Oh, you know what? I'd skipped a few words. Rav had actually said, "Osaba ma'isa chayev loy osaba ma'isa potter." What Rav had said is, if it's a loisa seshav atarda, if you did a ma'isa, you chayev. If you didn't do a ma'isa, then you potter. So that's what we asked. What about Meimer? And we said that he would say only Rabbi Yehuda that says you get malchus for it. But Rav's rule is any loisa seshav atarda, if you did a ma'isa, then you chayev malchus. If you didn't do a ma'isa, you potter from malchus. Now a different opinion. Amr of Idi Ba'ovin, Amr of Amram, Amr of Yitzchak, Amr of Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili. All of this is Rabbi Yechanan saying in the name of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. The rule is a little bit different. Kol loisa seshabat Torah, any loisa seshabat Torah, also ba maisa loisa, also ba maisa potter. So far, fine, the same thing as Rav said. If you did a maisa, then you get malchus. You didn't do a maisa, then you potter. Chut. Except, unlike Rav, who didn't allow any exceptions for that, and according to Rav, therefore, every case, any time you would find that a Lav Shein B'Maisi is getting Malkus, you would have to say, it's not according to that opinion, it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, or according to whoever, Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishag, really is giving us a different rule. He's saying there's an exception. Three exceptions, actually. Chutz min Nishba, except for a person who swears falsely, Meimer, or a person who makes a Tzmura, as in our Mishnah, Makalo Chaver B'Shem, or a person who curses somebody else using Hashem's name, those three, Afa Pishaloi, also Maisa, Chayev. With those three, we say, even if he didn't do a Maisa, he's still, even though he didn't do a Maisa, those three, pretty much by definition, there's no Maisa. Nishba, you're not doing anything, you're just saying, you're making a false sure. Vemo, you're not doing anything, at least that's what we're assuming at this stage of the Gemara. You're just saying this animal is going to be instead of that one. And Makawa Chaver of Hashem, same thing. Even though you didn't do a ma'isa with those three, nevertheless the person has chayev malchus for it. Mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina Amru Afa Makdim Tmura Lebikorim. Afa Makdim Tmura Lebikorim. Truma Lebikorim. They said in the name of Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina, there's a fourth exception. Also a person who designates truma before Bikorim. The normal order is that you're supposed to designate first Bikorim. Later on, truma, and then you continue from there, then you have meiser, and then you have meiser vishen, then you have meiser sheni. So if a person, there is a lav in the Torah to designate truma before bikurim. The pasuk says, in Parashas Mishpatim, meleach ha-bedimacha lo-isa-acher, that you shouldn't delay your meleachcha and your dimacha, which we're going to learn later in the Gemara. Meleachcha means your bikurim, dimacha means your truma, and it means, not doesn't just mean don't delay, as in don't delay giving them, it means don't delay giving the first one after the second one. In other words, you have to give them in a thoughtful order, first truma, then bikurim. So there is definitely a lav on that. Everybody agrees to that. But Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina is saying, not only is there a lav on that, but it's also, even though that's another example of a lav she'ein ben ma'isa, nevertheless, he says you get ma'isa. You get malchus for it. Okay. Fine. Minolon. Now, where do we know this from? This that we said, that you have four exceptions, three exceptions according to Rabbi Yechanan, in the name of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, and a fourth exception according to Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina.
We said there you have Mishma, a person who swears falsely, Neymar, a person who makes a Tamura, the Kaul Chaver of Hashem, or curses somebody else in Hashem's name, and according to the Yeshiva, Hanina Makim Turum of the Kurim. But let's go through one by one and see what are the sources why we would say that you get Malkus for those, even though there's no Mice. Minolon, so number one on Mishma Minolon, where do we see that a person gets Malkus for swearing falsely? Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Mishum Rav Meir, like this, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ki lo yunake Hashem esa shayisa as shmoy lashov. The pasuk says in the Aseret HaDibros that Hashem will not cleanse somebody who takes his name falsely. So now the vort is, in other words, it doesn't mean obviously. I mean, you know, on the surface, what it means is if the person doesn't do tshuva. But there, you don't need to say that because that's true in general. And that's true in general of mitzvahs. The Shittim Kabbetis brings over here from Harav HaMe'ili, one of the Rishonim, who says that obviously we can't say the pasuk is just teaching us that if a person does an avera and doesn't do tshuva, Hashem is not going to cleanse him. There's no chiddush in that. The chiddush must be that it means basin shall maila ein menachinah. So it means that if a person was over on that avera of swearing falsely, then it means the basin shall maila does not completely cleanse him. Kilo yinak Hashem. Our basin shall mata malkin oisu menachin oisu. But the basin here on earth is responsible to give him malchus and therefore to cleanse him. In other words, when it says kilo yinak Hashem, it's not just saying that you should know Hashem is not going to cleanse him. Again, you know, it doesn't mean if he's amazed, it doesn't really mean to say that. Obviously, Hashem knows what he's going to do. The point is that the pasuk is kind of the Shittim Kabbalah brings that the pasuk is kind of giving a hint over here, giving a nudge to base in Shomata. You know, you realize this guy did a serious avera, so serious that Hashem is not going to cleanse him for it. Therefore, you have to be responsible to do something to allow him to be cleaned up, namely given malt. They also talk about, I mean, with Shavuos Sheker, there's two, or Shavuos Shav, whatever, we're going to be discussing both of them over here. There's two components, really. There's a component which can be cleaned up by Malkus, and then there's the fact that, after all, he created a Chilul Hashem, which the Gemara tells us in Yoma, a person makes a Chilul Hashem, they don't have a full kapara until they die. But at least as far as the parts that can be Niskaper, then Beis Din is responsible for making sure that happens by giving him Malkus. So that's where we see that he gets Malkus for it. Okay. Amalei a papa l'abaya. However, a papa says to Abaya, who says that the words ki lo yinake Hashem mean that Hashem won't clean him up, but based in Shomater is responsible to? The ema loy tevel in the pius klal. Maybe the pasuk means that there's no way of cleansing him at all. Even giving him malchus is not going to help, and therefore, why should we? Amalei, Abaya answers him, im ken, if that were the case, if the pasuk just meant to stress how serious an avera it is, that there's no possible kapara for it on earth. Then all the pasuk has what church has to say is he will not cleanse. The list can stop there. Hashem normally, why does it have to add Hashem's name? Obviously, who else would be cleansing him normally other than Hashem? That means what we just said, based in Shomaila, who day in Menachem, now you say, I will based in Shomata Malkin and Menachem. It means the fact that it's going to say kilo yinake, which is a distant act, yeah, it would mean that it's a very serious avera. There's no cleansing possible for it. But by adding the word Hashem, that's meant as kind of a hint to the Beis Din Shomata. Beis Din Shomata, be aware, Hashem is not going to cleanse this guy as long as he's alive. Therefore, you make sure to do something about it in order that at least you can be mechaper on the part of his avera that you could. So that's where we see, therefore, that a shavuos shav gets a person mob. Okay. Fine. So the question is, ashkachon shavuos shav. Okay, that takes care of shavuos shav, because after all, we know there's a difference. There's shavuos shav, where a person makes a useless shavua, we learned back in Shavuos, and even further back in the Torah, we learned about what the various possibilities are. Shavuos Shav could be, for example, somebody swears that a walk is a walk, or it could be something where a person swears about something blatantly false, for example, that the walk is actually a piece of gold, or you can have a person can swear to be mevatel a mitzvah. It's also called a Shavuos Sheker, because you're not allowed to do that. Yeah, not Shavuos Sheker, sorry, Shavuos Shav. Yeah, there's four different kinds of Shavuos Shav. Anyway, the point is, this pasuk, ki lo yinak Hashem, is in connection with Shavuos Shav. Lo yisisa Hashem Hashem alakecha l'shav. Don't take Hashem's name in vain. So we understand that concept of Malchus applies to a Shavuos Shav. Shavuos Sheker menolon. How do we know that it also applies to a Shavuos Sheker, which is an actual false Shavuah,
as in we're going to have examples soon of that, the cases where a person makes a shvua about where a person makes shvua about a shvua about something and it turns out that it was false. So how do we know? And we're going to learn soon that there are cases where a person gets malchus for that. How do you know that? The answer is Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar. Rabbi Yochanan on his own said, without quoting in the name of Rabbi Yosi Agrino, like we said before, Lashav, Lashav, Shnei Pamin. Twice the Torah says the word Lashav, because you have it in that passage. Why Sisa Hashem Hashem Alakecha Lashav? Don't take Hashem here in vain. Ki Lo Yinaka Hashem Yisrael Yisrael Shmei Lashav, because Hashem will not cleanse a person who takes his name in vain. So twice in that passage it says Lashav, and therefore in Eina Inyan Lashon Lashav, therefore we don't need the second one to teach us again that there's this concept of Lashon Lashav. We don't take the first time. Therefore, we use that second shove for Shavuot Sheker and say, therefore, they get Malchus for that as well. But the point is, we have that kind of thing a lot of times. It's very common. We've had that any number of times in Shas, where the Gemara will say, given that you have two psukim or two parts of a pasuk or whatever, that seem to be teaching the exact same thing, and you don't need it to repeat it because the Torah doesn't waste words, then it means the second one is teaching us about a similar but related case. So over here, since we don't need a second one for Shav because we already have it the first time, therefore it means that the second one must instead be redirected to use for Sheker. So the different explanation, actually, we learned in Shavuos, I think Rabbeinu Gershom says it, is that another way of looking at it is also, we know that there's two times that the Aseret HaDibros are repeated in the Torah, and you have and by each one of them it says you have the same pasuk like Sisa Hashem Hashem Alakecha Lashav. So the same idea. In other words, we don't have to use from the two words Lashav in the same pasuk. We have two completely different psukim that say Lashav, and therefore again one of them can be used for Shavuot Sheker instead.
Which other topics the Torah also changes the address of the pasuk instead of something like
this? We've had any number of times. We've had just in Kodshim alone. We've had a lot of times in Lozette, that we have something which is repeated twice, and we use it for something else. There's any number of times. Okay. Okay, so to continue. So that's that. Mask for Rabba Bohu. However, Rabba Bohu asks on that, you telling me then that a person is getting a shvur, is getting Malkus for a Shavuot Sheker, but Rabba Bohu asks, Shavuot Sheker Hechidomi. What scenario are we talking about? Now, we know there's a number of different kinds of Shavuot Sheker. In particular, you can have a Shavuot Sheker, there can be a Shavuot Sheker on the past and on the future. You can have a Shavuot Sheker on the past, for example, that a person swears, I ate today, and they hadn't, or a person swears, I didn't eat today, and they did. And then you have Lahabba, where a person swears, I will eat today, and then he doesn't eat, or I will eat this bread or whatever, and then he doesn't eat it, or vice versa, I won't eat today, or I won't eat this bread or whatever, and then he does eat it. So Rabbi Bohu is asking, which scenario are we talking about here with a Shavuot Sheker that a person is getting Malkus for? Are we talking about a Shavuot Sheker for the future, where he swears that I won't eat, for example, and later on he ate? So you're telling me he would get Malkus for that? Of course he would get Malkus. Wholesome, who Maisa Ovad, of course. There he actually did a Maisa. The Shavua itself wasn't a Maisa, but when he was over on the Shavua, that actually involved a Maisa, eating. Of course he gets Malkus for that. What's the Chiddush? So you're going to say it's the other way around, the Shavua that he says that I will eat, and in the event he doesn't eat, in that case, does he even get Malkus for that at all? Well, Itmar, we have, in fact, a discussion about that point. We learned in Masechet Shavuos, we had a discussion about this. Shavua sh'oichel kikar zehayom. Suppose a person makes a shavua that I will eat this loaf of bread today, but over ayom v'loy ochal, the whole day passed, and he didn't eat it. Does he get Malkus or not? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, and Lakish, Amri, Eino Lotha.
both Rabbi Yochanan and the Shlokish say who does not get Malkus, but for different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Ein Eloika Delavshe Ein Lemaisa. Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't get Malkus because Delavshe Ein Lemaisa. Because what happened? This is another case of Lavshe Ein Lemaisa. He swore that he's going to eat it. What happened? He wasn't over on the Shavua with an act of doing something. He was over passively by not eating it. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, like you said on Omer Aleph, says you don't get Malkus for such a thing. But a Shlokish Omer Ein Eloika, the Shlokish says there's a different reason he doesn't get Malkus. Mishum Dehavale Hasra. Because every time they give him Hasra, it's a suffix. Hasra has to be. If you do this, you're definitely going to be Chayev Malkus or Misa or what have you. But over here, it's a Hasra suffix, because if they give him Hasra, let's say in the middle of the day, so if they, not necessarily, he can say, okay, I still have hours left in the day. I could still eat it any time today. Remember, in order for him to be Chayev, he'd have to be over on the issue, Tosh Kedidibur. And here he has much more than Tosh Kedidibur to the end of the day. So therefore, so it's a suffix. When they give him the Asura, is he going to end up being over on it or not? And even if, we've shown him talk about the Rashba, for example, talks about, so let's say, for example, they were to give him Asura, they gave him Asura when there's not enough time left in the day to eat. Well, then it's considered, in effect, that's considered Hasra la'achra ma'aser. Already, then it's already, the Hasra, in effect, is after the time when he did the Aveda, because at that point, there's not enough time left to eat it. And if the only way would be, hypothetically, if they could give him Hasra with just enough time, where there would be just enough time to eat this loaf of bread before the end of the day, in theory, that's possible. Practically speaking, it would be very, very hard to get the Hasra in at exactly that moment when you have no more, no less than the amount of time it takes to eat it. So therefore, the Shlokish says, therefore it's Hasra stuff it, and you don't get Malkus for that. So therefore, Rabbi Bohu is saying, with the two types of Shavuot Sheker, Labba, one of them, yeah, you're getting Malkus, but there's no chiddush in that, of course, because you ate the bread. And the other one, you're not getting Malkus according to either Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish, because it's either because the Lav Shein Lemaisa or because that's our suffix. So what is the case over here that we're talking about a person getting Malkus for a person getting Malkus for Shavuot Sheker? Ela Amar Rabbi Bohu Tehei Ba'achalti V'lo Achalti. Okay, so we have to say that this case we're talking about, where a person's getting Malkus for a Shavuot Sheker, even though there was no Maisa, it has to be that we're talking about L'sha'avar, that he makes a Shavuot Sheker on the past. He swears that he ate and he hadn't eaten, or he swears that he hadn't eaten and meanwhile he had. So therefore, that's L'sha'avar, that's a Shavuot Shav about a Shavuot Sheker, rather, about something that he did because he swore that he ate and actually he hadn't eaten. So that's a Shavuot Sheker L'sha'avar in the past. There's no Maisa involved because all he did is say the Shavuot. And nevertheless, we're saying he's Chayav Malkus for it. Okay, so the question is, why indeed then, if we have four types of Shavuot Sheker and two of them are in the past and two of them are in the future, why are we saying that only for the ones in the past is he Chayav Malkus even though there's no Maisa involved? Why indeed are we saying that the ones in the future he's not Chayav Malkus? Okay, you have, fine, it's Lav Shein Maisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if Asura Sofik, according to Rish Lakish, but at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, if we're saying that we have exceptions to Lav Shein Maisa, we said that we have the exception of Nishma, which is what we're dealing with over here. So why indeed should we say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that a Shavuot Sheker on the past, swearing I did eat when really he didn't, would get him Malkus, but for the future, saying I will eat this today and he doesn't, Rabbi Yochanan would say he doesn't get him Malkus, what's the difference? The reason is, Amar Rava b'feirush rib satora sheker doim l'shav, because we said before, how are we learning sheker? We said we're learning it from shav. We're learning from the extra word shav. We're learning that it also applies to Sheker. So therefore, it has to be that what kind of Shavuot Sheker is a person going to be Chayav Malkus for has to be similar to a Shavuot Shav. Ma Shav L'Sha'avar. A Shavuot Shav is always about something that already exists. For example, again, the examples we said before, that let's say he looks at a stone pillar and swears that it's silver. That's L'Sha'avar, because before he swore, it was already stone. So therefore, so af sheker l'shava, the same way, says Rava, what kind of, what sheker is a person getting malchus for when there's no maisa, is also the kind on the past, not the kind which is a, not the kind which is referring to the future, namely, I will eat this bread today, and he doesn't eat it. And on the other hand, again, if it was, I won't eat this bread, and he did eat it, then there's nothing to talk about anyway, then there obviously was a maisa, that then obviously he was over on the shavua with a maisa, and then obviously he gets malchus, but there's no particular finish in that.
Finishes in the future.
So for the future, there's no way to get malchus for a lav shein ma'isa. Either there is a ma'isa because he actually ate the bread after having sworn not to, or he didn't eat it. And then again, we have Rabbi Yechanan saying it's lav shein ma'isa, and Rish Lakish saying it's a tzaras safek, and therefore no malchus. So what kind of shavuos sheker is a person getting malchus for? Only the kind that's l'sha'avar, only the kind that's in the past, because it has to be similar to a shavuos shav, which by definition is about something in the past.
Okay.
Eisei Rabbi Yirmi Yilu Rabba Bohu. Okay, Rabbi Yirmi says to Rabba Bohu, I have a contradiction. To what you're saying, this that you're saying about getting malchus only for shavuos sheker in the past versus for the future. A Mishnah says in the Sefer Shavuos, Shavuos Shal Eicha Pikozu, if a person says, I make a Shavuos that I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, Shavuos Shal Eicha Lema, Shavuos Shal Eicha Lema, and then repeat that Shavuos 7-5, a Shavuos that I won't eat it, a Shavuos that I won't eat it. Now one difference is, Ein Chayev Ela Acha, and then later on he ate it, Ein Chayev Ela Acha, so he's only Chayev one time Malchus, because this is one of the differences we learned in the Masechta Shavuos. There's a number of differences between a neder and a shavua. This is one of them. Basically, because a neder is chal on a neder applies to the object itself. So therefore, one neder can be chal on top of another neder, as opposed to the shavua is on the person. And therefore, once he's also in it, he can't make himself more usher by swearing on it again. So therefore, he's only high of one. Therefore, he's only high of one malchus for it. Where are we? Okay. The zui shvuas bitur shechayoven al zoyna machus al shugzasa kovin ol v'yared, and continues the brice actually. This is a shavuos bitui for which a person is chayev of malchus if he was over on it the mezid, and a korban olav yored if he was over on it the shoking. So when it says zuhi l'mo'uti mai, what do you mean this is, as opposed to what else? Lav l'mo'uti achalti v'lo achalti v'lo lachi. Wouldn't that mean as opposed to the case of a chalti or lo achalti, where he wouldn't get malchus? So it sounds like what's the only case of a shavuos bitui, which is another name for a shavuos sheker, where a person is getting malchus, where he said that, where he was over on it, b'maisa, where he said I'm not going to eat it, and he ate it. But it seems like if we're talking in the other two cases where we say, again, remember out of the four possible cases, we said one of them involves a maisa, the other three we said do not involve a maisa. Oh, the only one that involves a maisa is I won't eat it, and then he ate it. The other three, I will eat it, and then he doesn't eat it. Or I ate, and meanwhile, I ate previously, and he hadn't. Or I didn't eat previously, and I had. All those three don't involve a ma'isa. And when the b'raisa is saying, this is the case, where a person gets malchus or a korban olav yored for being over on a shavuos bitui, shavuos sheker, wouldn't that mean, lav l'mo'urti achalti v'loy achalti, wouldn't that mean, as opposed to the cases of achalti and loy achalti, the loy lachi, where he's not getting malchus? So then, what are you telling me, Rav Abahu, that you would get malchus in those cases? The answer is like, no, that's not what the Braisa comes to exclude. It means Zuhi, Dao Shigigasa, Maisi Korban. It means this is the case where if a person was over on it, Beshoigig, then he's bringing a Korban. Avo Achalti, Veloy Achalti, but if it was a case of a Shavuos Bitui, the Sha'avar, where he said, I ate, and really he hadn't eaten, or vice versa, all it is Loi Maisi Korban. We're not saying that he doesn't, we're not saying he's not Chayav for Shavuos Bitui. We're not saying he's not Chayav Malchus if it was Beshoigig. But if it was Bemezi. But if it was the Shogig, this Braisa is saying he's not doing a korban. Umani Rabbi Shmuel. Who would that be like? That would be according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Omar that Rabbi Shmuel says over there, Eine Chayev El Ala Ofted Lovay. He says when it comes to a korban Olav Yored, he says that a person is only Chayev for a korban Olav Yored, only for a Shavuos Shav, that only for a Shavuos Sheker, rather, in the future.
Aval Milka Lucky. But Rabbi Shmuel would say that a person could still get Malkus for those cases of the past. He just, if it was B'shogeg, then he wouldn't bring a carbon for it.
He would get Malkus?
He would get Malkus for his B'mezid. But if it was B'shogeg, Rabbi Shmuel would say that he would that he doesn't bring a carbon. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that and says that that in those cases either Malkus B'mezid or carbon B'shogeg. However, the Gemara says, Eima Sefer, if you're going to say that way, look at the next part of the Braisa. We said, Zui Shavuos Shav Shachayavin Al Zoyna Makas Al Shigzasa Potter. The Braisa continues, the Braisa mentioned, the Mishnah, it is actually a Mishnah, mentions another case over there, where you have, it says, this is the Shavuos Shav for which a person is Chayav Malkus B'mezid, but is Potter from a Korban B'shogeg. So zuhi lamuuti mai. So what is so again when it says zuhi shavuos shav before we had zuhi shavuos sheker or shavuos bitter actually here we have zuhi shavuos shav. This is the kind of shavuos shav for which a person is potter from a carbon. Zuhi lamuuti mai. Again, what is this zuhi with this coming to me mai? Lav lamuuti achalti bloy achalti. Wouldn't we say that it comes to exclude the case of achalti or loy achalti deloy loki where he's not getting malchus? So you're telling me that he's getting Malkus, and we're just talking about whether he's bringing a carbon. But if we say in the Sefer this is the case where he gets Malkus, implying that there's another case where he doesn't get Malkus either. The answer is Loi. Again, no, that's not the inference from the Mishnah. You mean Zuhi Da'al Shigas Apotami carbon? Again, this is the case that's described over there, where if a person did a B'shogeg, he's potter from a carbon. Aval achalti, v'loy achalti, ma'isi carbon. But if it was a shavuos bitteri lisha avar, where he said I ate and really he hadn't eaten, then he would bring a carbon. Umani Rabbi Akiva. So and that part would be according to Rabbi Akiva. The Amram would be in carbon lisha avar. Rabbi Akiva says you do bring a carbon for a shavuos bitteri lisha avar. But fine. The problem, of course, is v'ha'amet reisha Rabbi Shmuel. You just said at the beginning of that Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Shmuel. How are you all of a sudden saying that the end of it switches gears and goes according to Rabbi Akiva? No. Ella, no. We have to answer rather as follows. Forget about Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is not represented in this Mishnah. Need the Sefer Rabbi Akiva, given we have to say that the Sefer of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva, because there's no way to make it work according to Rabbi Shmuel. Because if we're saying this is the case where a person is getting Malkus, the Mezid, and a carbon, and not bringing a carbon to Shogeg, implying there's no other, that can only be according to Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, there would be other cases where you're potter from a carbon. Reishanami Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, the beginning of the Mishnah also has to be according to Rabbi Akiva. The Reisha, now we were asking in that case, in the Reisha we said Zuhi, Zuhi Shechayovin, we said this is the case where a person is Chayev, Malkus B'mezid and carbon B'shogeg, and we said, wouldn't that be as opposed to a Chalti V'loy Chalti, where he's not getting Malkus? So and we wanted to answer that's why we wanted to answer it went according to Rabbi Shmuel. Now we're saying that V'reisha Lav L'Mo'uti a Chalti V'loy Chalti. The beginning of the Mishnah is not talking about a case. It's not addressing the case of a Chalti or L'loy Chalti. Those, a person may well get Malkus for them, and maybe bring a carbon for them, and according to Rabbi Akiva, bring a carbon for them also. Fine, but I say the Mishnah is not addressing those. Ela lema'uti oichal v'loy ochal. Rather, the Mishnah is coming to exclude the case where a person said, I will eat this bread today, and then he didn't eat it. Which we said before, Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish both said that he's potter from Malkus. We have different reasons, because the Lab Shein Nemaise, or because I saw a suffix. But the Mishnah is saying, in other words, this case where a person said I won't eat the bread and then he ate it, he's high of Malkus or carbon. This is the case, it's saying, where he's high of Malkus or carbon, meaning as opposed to what? As opposed to the exact opposite case where he said I will eat it and he didn't eat it that day. We're not addressing the cases of L'Sha'aver. L'Sha'aver, he may well get Malkus B'mezid and bring a carbon to show you, but the Mishnah is not addressing those cases at all.
So we're saying
we thought that the Mishnah is trying to address all four cases and saying that only that case where there was a Maise is he getting Malkus involving and the other one's not, implying that in the other one's not, and that led us to the whole discussion over here about Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Now we're saying no, the Mishnah is only addressing two out of the four possible cases. It's not addressing the two L'Sha'avos, the two ones in the past, swearing that I did eat when in fact he hadn't, or I didn't eat when in fact he had, the Mishnah is not addressing those. Those a person can be chayav on, personal karmic form. The Mishnah is not addressing those. The Mishnah is only talking about the two in the future. So it's saying the one in the future where there's a Maisa, where he actually eats the bread when he's sworn not to, he's getting Malkus. But the one in the future where there's no Maisa, where he said, I won't eat the when is he getting Malkus? When he said, I won't eat the bread, and then he ate it. But if it was the other way around, if there's no Maisa, he said, I will eat the bread, and then he didn't eat it. That's the Mishnah is saying. That's the case where there's no Malkus. Okay, the Gemara says a Maishnah. So what? Yeah.
You cannot talk about the past, because there's
well, if it talks about the past, then the problem we have is, who is this Mishnah going like? Because then half of it seems to be like Rabbi Shmuel, and half of it like Rabbi Akiva. So instead, we would rather say it all goes like Rabbi Akiva, but it's not addressing the past ones at all. And okay, we have to ask what's the logic, or Mishnah, what's the difference? Why would it be logical to assume that the Mishnah would be addressing only the future ones? Okay, we can say the reason is because of the questions we had with Shmuel or Akiva. Fine, but we still have to understand why the Mishnah would be phrased the way it is. The reason is Mishnah Dekoi Lahaba, the Lahaba Min Mayat Lahaba, because it's logical. When the Mishnah is discussing the case about something in the future where he swore that he's not going to eat the bread, so the Mishnah would be telling us, as opposed to the different kind of one in the future, where he said, I will eat the bread, where he's not getting milk. What's the logic that when the Mishnah is talking about something in the future, that it would be implying something about the past? Not logical. So therefore, it's logical. So therefore, it's not only because of our, it's not only from the koyach of our question about Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva that forces us to say that the Mishnah is only talking about the two future cases. It's also because logically, once the Mishnah starts talking about one of the future cases, it's more logical that it's continuing with an implication that excludes the other future case rather than it's talking about the past. There's cases in the past.
What is stronger, the logic or the fact that?
It doesn't really matter. The bottom line is, therefore, that we don't have a contradiction to Rabbi Bahu. Rabbi Bahu had said that a person can get Malkus for the Shavuos Bitu L'Shavar. The Mishnah that we quoted doesn't contradict that, because the Mishnah is not addressing those cases at all. Okay. So that takes care of how we know that a person swears a Shavuos Shav or Shavuos Sheker, how we know that they're getting Malkus. So now we work that out. Okay. Next. Umeimer. Then we said the second one on Rabbi Yochanan's list in the name of Rabbi Yochanan's meaning was Meimer, where a person makes a tenora. However, Omalei Rabbi Yochanan Latana. However, Rabbi Yochanan says to the Tana of Brisis in his yeshiva, "Boy tikni umeimer. Don't learn Meimer in this list over here." And it was apparently Rabbi Yochanan himself, when he was younger, I guess, learned in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Agrivi that one of the ones on this list is Meimer, but now when he got older and he himself was a Rosh Hashiva, he says, actually, don't include that on the list, not because you don't get Malkus, but because you become the Deborah, also Maisa, because, in effect, he did do a Maisa. Unlike Nishba L'Sheker, or L'Shav, and unlike Makal L'Shaveda, which is the next one, where there's no actual Maisa that was accomplished by his Dibur, no actual thing in Olam Hazah happened, here, when a person makes a Tmura, something happens. The second animal gets Dursha. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, you can't really consider that a Lavsha in Be'maisa. It is really a Lavsha Yesh Be'maisa, and therefore we don't need any exceptions for it. The usual rules apply. Lavsha Yesh Be'maisa, person getting Malkus.
Because when you mamir an animal, it is accomplished.
It becomes Kaddish. It accomplishes something, right? Okay. Then we said, I'm a Kalas Chaveda B'Shem. We said the next one is a person curses somebody else in Hashem's name. That's Malkus, even though there's no Maisa. Benolan, where do we know that from? Amar Abalaza, Amar Abyeshia, Amar Kral, like this. The Pasuk says, Im Lois Sishmer. The Pasuk starts off by saying, in the Terkachar, in the Parashat Kisavai, and says, if you're not careful to do, and the Pasuk continues, L'Yira Hashem, to fear Hashem's name, meaning to fear Hashem's name as it means not to use it for nothing. Then the next pasuk says, if you're not careful about that, the pasuk says Hashem will make that you have amazing blows. The hifla, like pella, like it'll be wondrous what kind of blows the person is getting. Well, haflazu en yageh ma'u. Well, when it says the hifla Hashem es makoscha, what does that mean? What does that mean? That is blows that he gets are going to be wondrous. It means true oima. When we have elsewhere in the Torah, it says the pilei ashefet, the kol lekanav, elsewhere in the Torah, and at the end of Parshas Kisetze, it describes the concept of malchus, that the dayan has him thrown down in front of him, because we're going to Makkos that he's bent over when he gets malchus, and he gets hit in front of him. There we go. The hifwa, shemes makoscha, means we're not talking about blows or punishments that Hashem is going to give the person. We're talking about blows that the person is getting from Beis Din Shel Masa, but from the pilei ashefet where the servant is knocking him down. It looks like also it could be also that the Gemara is doing is it's pointing out there's a connection between the word hifwa and the pilei. They have somewhat the same service. Actually, it is different service actually. Pay Lamed Aleph, which means wonderful, and then pay Vav Lamed, which means full game, which Gemara apparently is seeing that there's some kind of connection between them. Okay. Fine. The question is, Amer Afilu Shavuos Emes, how do you know that that's talking about only when a person swore falsely, or cursed somebody else? Maybe it means even if a person swore truthfully, that if a person swears even truthfully in Hashem's name, then he's going to get malchus. The answer is can't. Behead Yaksiv, you have an explicit pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Shavuos Hashem Ki Yaben Shmeim, where you have a case over there involving a shomer, where the shomer has to swear that the Torah says that he has to swear a shvur of Hashem that he was not shaleach yad, that he didn't misuse the pikadim. So we see that the Torah says you have to swear truthfully. So obviously you can't be getting malchus for it. Okay, the question is, Amar Hanin Yuli Lafayas is Chaver, right? Maybe the Torah is telling you he has to swear in order to appease the other guy. Because the other guy is claiming you owe me X amount of money for this Pikadin. So therefore you have to swear in order to get him off your back. Aval Milka Loki, but maybe you should still argue, maybe after all he should get Malchus, because why did you get yourself into that situation in the first place of having to swear? The answer is Loy Matis Amrit. You can't think that way. Because you have a different pasuk that says, in Hashem's name, you should swear. So we see that you're allowed to swear a truthful shvur. And in fact, not only are you allowed to, then I'm actually listed as one of the 248 mitzvahs I say, that when you have to swear, when you have to swear truthfully, you should swear in Hashem's name. You have, throughout the generations, there's always been people who are careful about that, but they don't want to swear in Hashem's name, even on something truthful. And you have many, many stories and many cases like that where a person comes to Beis Din on a certain claim, and they don't want to have to swear on it. So nowadays they have, and in later times, Mota Dinim came up with various other possibilities. That's the idea behind, for example, Shvubit Sefer, the idea behind holding Tefillin or a Sefer Torah or what have you while the person is taking a Shavua in Beis Din, is that way at least he's not having to mention Hashem's name. He's taking a Shavua on Hashem's name that is in the Tefillin or the Sefer Torah or what have you, but it's still not the same thing. So that way a person might be more willing to do that.
Almost the same to swear all the Tefillin or
Sefer Torah. The point is at least it made it a little easier. And in later times, I think they had various other possibilities. I think nowadays, in Bata Dinim nowadays, it's somewhat uncommon for them to make a person take a shul with Hashem's name. I think more often, because of this kind of thing, because people are careful with it, more often what the dinim will do is, if there's a situation where a person would have to swear a shul, they'll usually try to broker some kind of deal between the two parties so that a shul is not necessary. I'm not completely sure about that, but that's my impression. Okay, anyway, the point is the Torah allows you to swear in Hashem's name, or maybe even makes it a mitzvah to say, according to the Rambam. So therefore, obviously, you can't say a person is getting malchus for doing that. Okay, the question is, that's not what that pasuk means. We need that pasuk about Rishmoy Teshavaya to teach us what Rav says. The Omer of Gidol Omer Rav, B'nayin Shin Shvoyim L'chaim L'chaim. How do we know that a person can take a shvur to keep a mitzvah? You have a person who knows about themselves, I'm careless with a particular mitzvah, so they take a shvur to keep that mitzvah, to be more diligent in keeping that mitzvah. And how do we know that you're allowed to do that? Kenemen shbati v'akayema lishmon mishmadei tzitzecha. Because you have a pasuk in Tillim that says, I swore and I will fulfill it to keep your righteous mitzvah. Because the pasuk says Nishbati v'akayema lishma mishpatei tzitzecha. David HaMelech says until him, I swore and I will keep it to keep your righteous
mishpatei.
Please move that further
away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So still too far.
Still too much.
Yeah.
Okay, that's better.
No, actually, it really is.
So, anyway,
the point is that we need a Rishmoyta Shavaya to teach us that concept. Okay, the answer is Hoksiv Krach Rino Vaisibak Rishmoyta Shavaya. Okay, you have different pasuk also that says you cleave to Hashem, you be close to Hashem, and in His name you swear. For that pasuk, you have two psukim that say Rishmoyta Shavaya. So fine, one of them can teach us the concept about that you're allowed to swear to keep the mitzvah, and the other one teaches us more generally that you can swear truthfully in Hashem's name, and you don't get malchus for it. Okay. So the question is, okay, so we're saying then that because the pasuk says imoy sishmer lasos, therefore a person is getting malchus for it, because v'hifla Hashem es makoscha. Who says, though, that that's talking about cursing another person in Hashem's name? Ela, so what do you say? L'may osa, l'makalos chaver b'shem? You're saying that it comes to teach us the case where a person curses something else using Hashem's name. You're saying even though there's no ma'isa. The ema l'moysi shem shemayim l'batola. Maybe not. Maybe it means more generally. If a person uses Hashem's name in vain, a person just says Hashem's name without a purpose, or makes a bracha without a purpose or whatever, then they get malchus. But maybe cursing a person, somebody else in Hashem's name, doesn't get malchus. The answer is, what's the logic? Me gara makalos chaver b'shem imoysi shem shemayim l'batola. What do you think? Cursing somebody else in Hashem's name is better than moysi shem shemayim l'batola? If you're going to tell me a person's getting malchus for moysi shem shemayim l'batola, obviously, they're getting malchus equally well for cursing somebody in Hashem's name, which also involves using Hashem's name. Okay, the Gemara says, Anan hochi kokashalan. You're right, but that's not the question we had. The question was, Ema moit shem shemayim vatola tifki leva malchus. Maybe you say like this. A person uses Hashem's name in vain. Then a person uses Hashem's name in vain. Malchus is enough as a kapara to clean up that aver. But when it comes to cursing somebody in Hashem's else in for another person in Hashem's name, given to Ka'ovid Tarki, there he's committing two Averis. Number one, he's using Hashem's name for nothing. And number two, he's causing pain and causing pain and discomfort to the other person. Maybe you would argue that Malchus is not enough for him. Maybe you wouldn't give him Malchus, not because it's a less serious Avera, but just the opposite, because the more serious Avera and Malchus isn't enough for it. The answer is loy mafis amrit. You can't think that way. Yichtiv loy sekal o chelish. Because you have a pasuk that says, they have a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, that says, don't curse a deaf person. Meaning, even though he can't hear it. And that means any kind of curse, whether with Hashem's name or without. The amrit, the shlema l'kal l'chaver az harasim ahocha. So if you're going to say that, if you're going to say that there's a general issur of cursing somebody else and the azhura is from here, yichtiv lo sekal o chayrish, then because it's fine, it says don't curse a deaf person. So therefore, you would say that that's a general azhura, where if a person curses somebody else, that's where the Torah is telling us not to do it. And then, Eli, Amit Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola, but if you're going to say the main problem of cursing somebody in Hashem's name is that he's using Hashem's name in vain, Azhara Simahecha, then you'd have to ask, where's the Azhara? You have a punishment in the Torah, but you have to have an Azhara. So that alone shows, therefore, that it can't be that if not, that Malchus is not enough for him. Obviously, Malchus has to be enough for him, because Loitzakal Ocheres is a general statement. Don't curse somebody else. Don't curse another person, and that would be the Azhara, and therefore the Hifla Hashem is Makosha would be the punishment. Okay, so the Gemara says, Alam Aloy, why not? What's the problem? You could say that there's an Azhara for using Hashem's name in vain. The Pasuk says, you should fear Hashem, and you should serve Hashem. So there's an Azhara to not use Hashem's name in vain. Okay, the answer is, Ahu Azhara's Esahu. Fine, that doesn't count as an Azhara. That's an Azhara to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. To respect Hashem's name is a mitzvah saseh. That's not a mitzvah lois, I said. So for it to be an Azhara, there would have to be a pasuk that says, don't do such and such. And here it doesn't say that. So therefore, we have to say, therefore, the Azhara must be from loisikal al-Khairish. And once that's the case, once you have an Azhara, loisikal al-Khairish, which includes more generally whether it was with Hashem's name or not, then it must be the punishment as the same thing. Rashi brings another explanation from his Rebbe also, that we have a pasuk that says don't curse a deaf person who's like the most downtrodden among the Jewish people. You have another pasuk that says you're not allowed to curse a nasi, and just like with a nasi, There's never more than Malkus. But the same way, when it comes to the deaf people, there's never more than Malkus. You can't say that Malkus is not enough for him. It always has to be that that Malkus is enough for him, whether he used Hashem's name or not. And therefore, that's that. So we can't say therefore. So that establishes therefore that if a person curses another person using Hashem's name, he's getting Malkus. We don't say that Malkus is not enough for him. We say that Malkus is just what he needs. And even though it's a lav shein lemaisa, that was the third one on the list that a lav shein lemaisa is getting Malkus for.
There's no other one.
Well, we had those three, and then we had Rabbi Yosi Aglut. We had Rabbi Yosi Chanina out of the fourth one, giving truma before Bikurim. But we'll deal with we'll take that up tomorrow, Baruch Hashem.
Okay. When are you coming back?
I don't know yet. Plan next week. I don't know. We'll have to see. Meanwhile, we'll continue on the phone.
Greisman was there.